Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we're going to talk to attorney Jim Wadhams and take a look back at the legislature that just concluded. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Howard Rosenberg, Marsha Birkbigler, and Liz McMenamin. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how their roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Abby, you think we'll be cowgirls someday?
You're darn tootin'. Maybe we'll even win buckles. Yeah.
Get ready for the nonstop adrenaline-pounding excitement, because it's time to cowboy up for the Reno Rodeo. It all starts with bulls, as Extreme Bulls kicks off 10 nights of Reno Rodeo starting June 16th.
These guys are our future. That's why we rodeo for the kids.
Yeah! How will new energy technology make our lives better? Will geothermal, wind, and solar energy be a bigger part of our future? Yes. And soon it will all be in our backyard. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Jim Wadhams, the attorney with Jones Vargas. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir. One of the top lobbyists. I recall interviewing you in Las Vegas a couple of months ago, before the session, and you had a gleam in your eye looking forward to the session. Was it fun?
This session was a tremendous challenge. For a combination of reasons, some of which we talked about on your show previously. We had the term limits, which changed leadership in the houses, or the personnel in the leadership, and we had a crop of new freshmen coming in who came in bright-eyed, eager, and significantly well-informed, and that just created a lot of opportunity for a lot of discussion. It was a fascinating session, unique in the number that I have participated in over the years.
Give us the difference between Governor Gwynne, Governor Givens, and Governor Sandoval in terms of dealing with the legislature.
Three very different characters. Governor Gwynne, of course, was two-term governor, but a one-term politician. He had never been in political office except for his two cycles through the governor's office. Very likable guy, basically an educator all of his life, he approached the process as an educator would, with information. Very congenial man. Mr. Gibbons was a bit more, I won't say withdrawn, but a little more aloof from the process, and I think that presented a particular challenge, both for his administration and for the legislature to deal with that. Governor Sandoval is a unique character in that his personality, very engaging, and I think he surrounded himself with some very competent people. His chief of staff and senior policy advisor, very experienced people, I think the Governor Sandoval's personality really set him apart. To be candid, he probably got a little bit of luck of the beginning of the improvement of our recessionary economy with that additional money. So it really changed the chemistry when you have an engaging governor as Governor Sandoval is.
It was very interesting. Even people that totally disagreed with him had trouble disliking him.
I think that's a significant piece. In politics, personality is very important. When you can talk to somebody and you enjoy talking to them, it's a little harder to disagree. Even if fundamentally you do disagree, you can't be as disagreeable. With Governor Gibbons, there was a tendency to disagree with him just because. With Governor Sandoval, you really had to engage in that process, and I think he carried the day, quite frankly, with his personality in many cases.
In the very beginning of the session, there were very hardened positions as far as taxes, etc. Did that surprise you that it started out in that manner, or is that just a typical negotiation?
Well, I think our politics of this era have been a little bit different than in the past. Quite frankly, I started out working for Governor Michael Callahan, who said no new taxes. A little different economy, however, back in the 70s. But I think those positions were staked out through the campaign. It was a very difficult campaign process, and a lot of positions were taken. But I think the politics of this particular era are far more polarized between the left and the right, so to speak, than they have been in the past. So I think that brings in a little different position to the legislative process. But at the end of the legislative process, just concluded a little over a week ago, I think you saw the confluence of those positions coming back to the middle.
It was also interesting to see Democratic leadership going so hard after education reforms.
Well, I think that was part of the positions that the administration and the legislature had to stake out. I think the leadership of the two legislative houses clearly wanted to raise more money. And the governor and the Republicans made it pretty clear that while they were perhaps prepared to consider that, it needed to come with significant reforms. The Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce sort of led that whole discussion by saying, we may consider supporting additional revenue, but it has to come with reform. So I think from the outset, the Democratic leadership of both houses understood that some reform was going to be necessary.
And do you feel at the end of the day that the teachers union was the loser?
I don't think that they were the loser. I mean, I understand from a labor management standpoint, there were some significant concessions, and I suppose those of the labor movement might disagree with me, but I think on balance, those changes will probably prove not to be harmful. I think our union movement in our state is still pretty secure, particularly in those service areas, and teachers are part of that. So I think that's going to continue.
All right, let's take a break. More with Jim Wadhams when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
These are the greatest classic rock bands of all time.
Feels like the best time.
So get ready to relive rock at its best with the complete classic rock collection. The 100 greatest classic rock songs of all time on one unbelievable 8 CD collection.
Love isn't always on. No more, Mr. Nice Guy.
Don't bring me down.
The boys are back in town.
These are the classic songs that live on forever. Can't get this massive 8 CD collection in any store. So let rock rule with the complete classic rock collection. To order, have your credit card ready and call the number on your screen. Do it now.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductor's Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun. Yeah.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Attorney Jim Wadhams, talking about the session. The timing of the Supreme Court decision on the Clean Water Fund, was that deliberate?
I don't think it was deliberate. That turned out to be a unanimous decision. And I think that the timing of that was very significant, but I don't think it was deliberate. Man, I don't think the Supreme Court raced to get that done. However, looking at a bigger picture, it obviously is a far better decision to have rendered before the session ends than after the session ends. But since it was a unanimous decision, it would strike me that it probably was being prepared well in advance of when it was actually produced.
Okay, so the decision was based on $62 million. But in fact, the governor looked at the decision and decided that it could affect a lot of different things, and therefore he needed to get all the taxes that were going to sunset. What are your thoughts on that position?
There was actually some discussion during the legislature that there were legislators that believed that this should only be interpreted as applying to $62 million. And literally, that's absolutely correct. There was a case that was called the Clean Water Coalition in Southern Nevada, and they had brought the suit. A private entity joined in, the M Resort. So it was a specific case about a specific funding mechanism. So in a very literal sense, it would only apply to that particular $62 million. However, when the Supreme Court interprets the Constitution of our state, we all have to take that seriously, not just lawyers, but legislators and governors. What is the implication of the principles being articulated in that decision? And I think the governor correctly considered that the Supreme Court, in making the decision it rendered on that $62 million, might very well come to a similar conclusion on some of the other funding mechanisms. So while there was some discussion, I think ultimately it was pretty strong consensus that the implication of that decision would affect several of the other funding mechanisms that were built into the budget.
Last night, Greenspun Media reporting that the Clark County DA is demanding a state refund of $102 million. This could be a very scary thing. I mean, funds have been swept for a long time to balance the budget.
Well, there's a couple of questions, and this is a bit maybe too lawyery for this particular discussion, but the question is whether that particular decision on the Clean Water Coalition is going to have a retroactive effect on cases that were not brought by that point in time. And that's a separate question. So the fact that the district attorney is demanding it and perhaps even files suit to obtain it doesn't necessarily mean that when it gets to our Supreme Court that they would rule, well, everybody gets everything back that they ever had swept. That is a conclusion that is not obvious in the question.
I spoke to a council person who said that a certain city might be looking for tax credits for money that had been swept. Do you anticipate something like that?
There's going to be a great deal of discussion because our financial condition through all levels of government is very, very serious. So I'm not surprised to hear these discussions go forward. However, at the end of the day, we are a state in which the state legislature and the state government is really the supreme body of the state. And Should the Supreme Court suggest that that $102 million, for example, has to be repaid, the legislature will have to deal with that. And while sweeping funds, as was done in the Clean Water Coalition, was unconstitutional, that is not to suggest that it couldn't be done in a constitutional way.
That's a very good point. Would you actually have to change the Constitution, or could it be done the way the Constitution is set up right now?
It could be done the way the Constitution is set up right now. What you'd have to do is design the legislation differently to meet the four corners of what the Supreme Court identified as the problem. So you get back inside of the system that allows you to do that. The state, the money of the public revenue of the state belongs to the state. So they can decide where it goes. They can reapportion the allocation of revenues. It's just they have to do it in a certain way that conforms with the Constitution.
Do you think there is a danger if cities and counties do try to go after these large sums of money that have been swept in the past, that would just lead the governor of the legislature to push unfunded mandates onto the counties that the state is currently paying for?
It certainly could, but I think if the court were to allow retroactive application of that decision and force the repayment of some of the swept funds from the past, the legislature is going to have to reconvene and redesign the revenue and budget system, which they have the power to do that. The Supreme Court decision didn't say that they couldn't take money from the local governments. They just said you can't take it in that particular fashion.
All right, last question. Redistricting. Was it a mistake not to get it done during the session and to push it off to the Supreme Court?
I think that's a fascinating question, and I've spent a little time in those last days reading the Constitution. The Constitution, interestingly, says it is a mandatory duty of the legislature to reapportion, and that did not occur. So it's going to be interesting to see how the courts and ultimately the Supreme Court of our state or perhaps the federal courts with our congressional districts actually approach this issue when our Constitution says it's a mandatory duty of the legislature.
So in essence then, could the Supreme Court or the federal courts come back and say, Nevada legislature, you have not done your job, get back in session and get it done?
That's a possibility. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know that that's been tested in this state or any other state. So, but that's a question that's out there. Obviously, the political parties and others believe that the Supreme Court will take this up and they will go through the mechanical process of creating these districts. They may. I'm just not sure. It's a fascinating question, and once again, we're in new territory in our courts.
Always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
You think we'll be cowgirls someday?
You're darn tootin'. Maybe we'll even win buckles. Yeah.
Get ready for the non-stop adrenaline-pounding excitement, because it's time to cowboy up for the Reno Rodeo. It all starts with Bulls as Extreme Bulls kicks off 10 nights of Reno Rodeo starting June 16th.
These guys are our future. That's why we rodeo for the kids.
Yeah!
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Howard Rosenberg is here, professor of art at the University of Nevada, former university regent. Liz McMenamin is vice president with the Retail Association of Nevada, one of our proud sponsors. And Marsha Burke-Bigler is partner with Sierra Business Strategies. Pleasure to have you all here. So last night was the first debate for Congressional District 2 with Kurt Leupold, Greg Brower, and Mark Amaday. They pretty much agreed on most things, and they all took a conservative position, obviously. It didn't get real interesting until about the last 5 minutes of the debate when Greg Brower went after Mark Amaday for his votes on taxes in 2003 and his working with the teachers union. Amaday came back and said that he wasn't the one that lost to Sharon Angle. So it was kind of
interesting
there. But Ed Vogel this morning in the Las Vegas Review-Journal brought up an interesting point from Kurt Leupold, the former commander of the USS Cole, where he called for the construction of two nuclear power plants at the Nevada National Security Site and the use of Yucca Mountain Site as the National Center of Nuclear Fuel Reprocessing. Your thoughts on that?
I think it's an excellent idea. I'm not sure that there are people in Las Vegas who would be really happy with it. But the fact of the matter is, it is sitting there. If it's not going to be a nuclear waste dump, which I think is still up in the air, frankly, but if it's not going to be a nuclear waste dump, what is it going to be? And why shouldn't we look at some type of industry that would employ Nevadans in that market, that would bring income to the state, tax dollars and other types of income to the state, bring new residents to the state? Why shouldn't we look at that? Nuclear power in that site is an That's an excellent use of the location, I think.
Liz?
It's interesting because yesterday I listened to Ty Cobb Sr. on one of the radio shows, and he was in D.C. at the time. This is not a dead issue, we all know. Contrary to what Senator Reid says, the Yucca Mountains project is still pretty much alive. And one thing I understand is there was a report that was held back from the committee on the safety, and it was actually pro Yucca. So I think we're still gonna see, like Marcia said, this moving forward somewhat. And I do agree, the Southern Nevada people may not be happy about it.
Heidi Smith was on the program yesterday, and she was talking about the fact that last night's debate would be good, but Saturday's debate in front of the Central Committee was going to be war.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, would you care to opine on this topic?
You're asking an art professor about atomic energy. This is really intelligent. All I can say to you is this. We blew up atomic bombs in the middle of the desert way back when. Where's the problem here? Would someone explain it to me? I just don't get it. I really don't. I have a small black book that Thalia Dondero gave me from years ago that was passed around to all the school children and everyone. Some of it is very, very true. A lot of it we didn't know enough to realize how really dangerous the stuff was that we were playing with. Las Vegas is still in existence. So far as I know, no one's really that much the worse for wear. I can remember one of our presidents at the university in Las Vegas, I think it was Dr. Harder, said, why not use this place for nuclear repository? Why not take the money that will be given to us to do this and use it for the state? It will employ people. We can make sure that it is indeed safe. Now, mm-hmm. Transporting it back and forth, I don't know. Again, you're talking to an art professor. I don't deal with the realities of life all that much. Thank heaven. It's wonderful.
I think you're being very modest. Let's turn our attention to the university system and what's been the response from the funding that's come out of the legislature on campus.
It's still pretty bad, Sam. It really is. We're losing good people. They're leaving to go to other places, and I can't blame them. The part that's really sad is it's the younger faculty that are leaving us. That's the future of the university. It will change. I know that it will change. In the meantime, all I am concerned with is how do I provide the classes for my students, staff my classes with the very best possible teachers that I can find, and we've got some damn good teachers on that campus. Most of us are working much more than we ever have before. I particularly am enjoying every single moment of it. I love being with the kids. there are those that don't enjoy it that much, so we're putting it back and forth to give them the best that we can. 13% increase in tuition for the kids, I'm worried about. I wish that it had been done maybe 7% and then maybe 6% over a two-year period, but it will be flat for next year, from what I understand. We'll manage. We will get through this, and the kids will get what they want. The rest of it, I'm not worrying about.
Liz, as you look at economic development, that's the big story in the state.
Right.
You know, any company that's going to do their due diligence and come to Nevada is going to look at what's happened with the education system. What do you think the response is going to be?
It's one of the factors, as you know, and it is a large factor too, because they're looking for an educated workforce. But I was listening in on a conversation earlier about some of the companies that are moving in, purchasing large buildings in Southern Nevada. They're not necessarily they're not there to utilize one of the more educated workforces. We're talking about warehousing and selling out, and I'm talking about Zappos in particular.
Sure.
And I have a little sting in my heart after this legislative session about Zappos and Amazon not willing to collect sales tax in the state of Nevada. And still, we're applauding them, and we're willing to give them some kind of tax, an incentive to put their warehouse in Southern Nevada. I have a little problem with that, but back to this issue. Yeah, higher education is very important. It is vital for an educated workforce. Economic development needs to probably look at that. But yeah, I do think it's going to be a problem, and I think that we're going to see. I'm hoping, like Howard said, that we're going to see improvements later on. Right now, it's a sting right now, and we understand that. But
okay, Marcia, you get the last word.
Well, economic diversification needs education. There's no question about that. But it doesn't just need that.
Right.
It needs so much more in the state of Nevada. And back to my theme during the legislature when I was working there, I started saying before it occurred, and I said through the entire legislature, I say today, Nevada has to look at doing something about the revenue picture in the state. And I think Mr. Wadhams, who was on earlier, was very accurate in his assessment that that's really what the biggest issue is in Nevada right now, that we've got to look at how we're going to do revenue in Nevada and how it impacts economic diversification and growth for the future.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. Howard, you can come back. We'll be right back on the Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
So who do you use for a workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background check, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in about 10 years.
So do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Attention antidepressant users. The FDA has associated the use of certain antidepressants with birth defects.
If you took Celexa, Lexapro, Paxil, Effexor, Zoloft, Prozac, or Prestique and had a child born with a serious birth defect, call the Relion Group now.
Do not delay. There are time deadlines to file a claim.
There is absolutely no risk on your part. You don't owe us a penny unless we are successful.
Call 1-800-237-1788. Don't delay. Call now.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Among the guests coming up next week, Annette Whittemore with the Whittemore-Peterson Institute, Commander Kirk Lippold running for CD2, Elise Monroy, president of Nevada Latinos for Prosperity, and Pulitzer Prize-winning author David K. Shipler. It's all coming up on the next broadcast. We'll see you then. Thanks for watching and listening.